an awful lot in that parasha today. And so I am concentrating on maturity and on how after we are weaned, then where we drink milk only, after we are weaned is when we become eating milk become eating meat and bread. So let us pray. Abba Father, we just thank you and praise you for the word that you've given me today. I pray that you'll open our eyes so that we can see the wondrous things from your Torah. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of your heart be acceptable in your presence, Yehovah. Because you are my God, you are my rock, and I just ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Now I've got to find it. So, oh dear me. It's fallen off. Okay. Can you hear me? We're going again. Hallelujah. Okay, so what I've titled my message today is A New Life Requires Weaning Before It Can Eat and Drink. And I'm taking it from Bereshit chapter 21, verses 1 to 10 from our readings today. And Yehovah visited Sarah and as he had said, and Yehovah did for Sarah as he had spoken. So Sarah conceived and bore Avraham a son in his old age, and appointed at the appointed time of which Elohim had spoken to him. And Avraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah had born to him, Yitzhak. And Avraham circumcised his son Yitzhak when he was 8 days old, as Elohim had commanded him. And Avraham was 100 years old when his son Yitzhak was born. And Sarah said, Elohim has made me laugh, and everyone who hears of it laughs with me. And she said, who would have said to Avraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Avraham made a great feast on that day that Yitzhak was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Mitzrayi, whom she had borne to Avraham, mocking. And she said to Avraham, drive out this female servant and her son, for the son of this female servant shall not inherit with my son, with Yitzhak. The birth of Yitzhak was a new day in the lives of Sarah and Avraham. They had spent decades together as a childless couple. Now, at the ages of 90 and 100, heaven forbid, years respectively, are they to start a new life? Because they now have a child to raise. I would hate to start raising a child at my age. The old life is now completely gone. New truths of the new and the old are very much a concern for these people, because the old is gone. Life will never be the same again. Anyone who's had children can tell you that. It's never the same again. There's a lot to say about the old and the new, especially when it refers to a new life in Yeshua and obeying his Torah. But this new life has more involved in it than simply becoming a new creation. There is the understanding of how new we really are that is so important. After we are made new, we have to take hold of what that new actually means. It asks the question, how much of the old life do we need to reject as we take on this new life according to Yehovah's word? Avraham's son Yitzhak was a miracle child, as much as your new birth into the kingdom of Yehovah was a miracle. And like Avraham with a new son, you also have an older son within your humanity, the person you were before you became born anew. Our physical being was born a lot earlier than our spiritual or ruachal being that will live for eternity. It is your spirit or the ruach within you that was born anew when you were saved and filled with the Yehovah's Ruach HaKodesh. Now, in the scripture, we learnt that the older child hated the younger child. When Yitzhak was weaned, the older one rose up and was cast out of the household. The weaning was a noteworthy time. Weaning, of course, is the time that the child leaves the point of beginning. It is where a child is fed milk by the mother and it is then able to eat and drink on its own. In biblical days, children were about 3 or 4 years old, at least, before they were weaned. As believers in Yeshua, this eating and drinking refers to the body and the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, and that he said we should eat and drink in order to have eternal life. Now that is his famous bread and wine. As we have practiced with our remembrance service each Shabbat, the eating of the bread and wine speaks of the appreciation of the work of the steak upon which Yeshua died and completed a work. When you devour a teaching, then that becomes a teaching that you can fully comprehend and benefit from. We appreciated all the work of the steak did for us when we could say that we were eating and drinking his blood and his body through the bread and the wine. It's only then can we really take hold of who we are in him. Until we eat and drink on our own, we are infantile and require milk. Can we go to Messianic Jews Hebrews, please? In chapter 5, verses 10 to 14, it says, having been designated by Elohim a high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, concerning whom which we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For indeed, although by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you, again, the first elements of the word of Elohim, and you have become such as needing milk and not solid food. For everyone partaking of milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, whose senses have been trained by practice to discern both good and evil. We have to get to the stage where we are on solid food. That's what I try to bring out when I come up here to the pulpit. It's interesting that Messianic Jews teaches us that the truths that a man named Melchizedek, King of Righteousness, is involved with teaching those who can discern good and evil are meat compared to the simpler truths of the scriptures that those not yet weaned can only receive. Because it was Melchizedek who brought Avraham bread and wine to eat and drink, food for the mature palate. In Bereshit chapter 14 and verse 18, it says, and Melchizedek, sovereign of Shalem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was the priest of the Most High El. He brought that out to Avraham. Weaned children are able to eat and drink. Until we are weaned, we are not truly receiving supernatural insight and strength as a result from the scriptures concerning the steak. Being weaned speaks of a time when you are able to lay hands on people, claim healing instead of seeing the minister or others do it. Being weaned is a time when you start pushing the devil around and casting him out of your home and your own personal struggles. Being weaned is the time when you don't let circumstances control you any longer. And being weaned is when you leave the dishonesty and lukewarmness and take belief in Yeshua and his Torah seriously to act as he did and treat your brothers and sisters properly. Since we are absolutely nothing on our own without Yeshua HaMashiach, being weaned is fully appreciating everything you are with him, which is a tremendous amount of something. And I'm sure you all know this scripture from Philippians 4:13. I have strength to do all through Messiah who empowers me. You've probably heard it from the King James Version and a lot of other versions which say the same thing, that I can do things through Christ which strengtheneth me, or strengthens me. I prefer empower. All things is quite a lot of things. I can do all things, not just a few things, not just some things, not just many things, but all things through Yeshua HaMashiach, who empowers me. As you, most of you know, I'm an autist, and therefore I'm a literalist. And that's why I love to look at scriptures through the literalist's perspective. So when I compare these verses, the King James Version tells me that Yeshua gives me the strength or the muscle power to cope with all things. But I don't need my muscles to overcome many things in my life. I need the empowerment of Yeshua HaMashiach within me to overcome those things. It is his power that gives me the physical strength. And that's why I love reading the scriptures through the Hebrew interpretation rather than the English. It's more useful to my brain to do it that way. Children of Israel went from receiving manna, whatever you want to call it, for 40 years to eating stored grain and man, and then man ceased being provided by Yah on the third day after the Passover when they arrived in the Promised Land. I want to go to Joshua chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. The children of Israel camped in Gilgal and performed the Passover on the 14th day of the month at the evening on the desert of the plains of Jericho. They ate the stored grain of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened bread and roasted grain on this same day, and the man ceased on the day after they had eaten the stored grain in the land. And the children of Israel no longer had man, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Pesach, or Passover, was a time when the grain of wheat, who was Yeshua, our Passover lamb, would fall into the ground and die. From that death would be 3 days until he would resurrect and fulfill his redemption. During those 3 days, it was not only man, but grain of the land that was consumed by the children of Israel. On the third day, they were weaned from the man and ate the grain only. That was the day he rose from the grave. They'd eaten man for 40 years, and the day after Passover, they ate the grain of the land. And the third day after the Passover, they saw the man cease. And from then on, the people ate the grain of the land. Man was wilderness food. It was a food between Egypt and the Promised Land. Their weaning came when they came into the Promised Land to eat the grain of the land. Another food that they knew was there, that they had taken out of the land 40 years earlier, were the grapes. From the grapes, of course, you get wine. And from the grain, you get bread. The children of Israel were told they were going to go a land of milk and honey. They were going to drink and they were going to eat. Milk, drink, honey, food. So what did they get as soon as they arrived? Wine and bread, drink and food. I believe Yehovah is showing us how important the food and drink of the body and the blood of Yeshua really is. In the wilderness, they fought with one another in bickering and arguing. Korach, Ditan, Aviram had trouble with the leadership of Moshe. These folks never grew out of their milk, but died as babes in the wilderness. But Yehoshua grew up and he matured, and he received Moshe's spirit, or Ruach. And after the grain of the land became their food, Yehoshua faced a messenger with a sword and sent to conquer Jericho for the nation. The day after Passover began was the day the grain of the land was eaten. Can we go to Yochanan chapter 12, verse 24, please? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. This scripture shows me that Yeshua is the grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies in order to resurrect with much fruit. Passover was the day Yeshua died, and they both had man and grain on the second day of Passover. Only man was eaten on the Passover of day one. Both man and grain were eaten on day two, and only grain was eaten on day three. They were now weaned from the man. In the Promised Land, they're not just fighting the childish fights between one another, but began conquering enemy tribes and nations that possessed their land. They entered a maturity in the land that they did not have in the wilderness. In the wilderness, we remember that they only had fear, where they went in and they saw the giants. They came back with the grapes, but they saw giants and felt that they were the grasshoppers. The Passover lamb in Mitzrayim, Egypt, was what set them free and redeemed them. This day of Passover in Canaan celebrated an event that was not merely to take them out of Egypt, but that Passover lamb was to ultimately see them into the Promised Land. A lot of believers within Christianity can get the Passover lamb part and preach about Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus Christ, as they call him. But until it becomes a victory to you, personally, and just more than religion, but actual warfare against the kingdom of darkness in your life, and the triumph of peace and joy of the promises of Yehovah, represented by the Promised Land, your religion is only milk. We need to get out of the wilderness and get into the Promised Land. The first Passover on entering the Promised Land for Yehoshua and the children of Israel was a monumental Passover. This was the time Israel was meant to see the way back when the lamb was slain in Egypt. This was the time they showed their life of victory over their enemies. This was the time when all the land that Abraham was shown, that Minister Yitzhak showed us in last week's parasha, became a reality and had a land to rule. Yehovah brought them out in order to bring them in. Leaving Mitzrayim was getting them out, but entering Canaan was getting them in. The scripture we read in Messianic Jews says, those on milk are not skillful in the word. Remember and take note, the word is the sword of the spirit. The word is your scriptures. Also, Yeshua is the word. Yeshua used the word against the adversary when he told Hasatan, it is written, during his own wilderness temptations. When we are skillful in the word, we know how to defeat Hasatan and any other of life's troubles. And when Yah sees we are hungry enough for the meat, by seeing us mature enough where we are serious with him and his messianic community and stop fussing amongst one another, he opens up the Yarden and takes us into the Promised Land where the real victory is won. But notice that meat was obtained at a Passover in Canaan. It's a note telling us that the meat we feast upon is the truths of the steak of Yeshua HaMashiach, the truth that saved us way back when we first became believers. The grain of the land is the meat of the land, the food of the land. This means we use the truth of the steak for more than just getting saved. The same stake that washed away our sins gives us more power in his blood than we ever dreamed. There's not only power against a whole life of sin, but also against a whole kingdom of darkness that withholds our peace and our joy away from us. We are living in that time now, when Hasatan, through governments and through whatever's happening, causes us to have fear over COVID, fear over things happening that can destroy our way of life, never getting back to normal. They say it's a new normal. Sorry, I'm not going back to any new normal. I believe in Yeshua HaMashiach will rescue me from anything that Hasatan will want to throw at me. Every blessing we receive from Yehovah is like a piece of land in the promised land. And an enemy stands on that land that belongs to you. Peace belongs to you. Joy belongs to you. Happiness belongs to you. Victory belongs to each and every one of you. But an adversary is standing on top of it. And the bread and the wine of the broken body and the shed blood of Yeshua's death on the stake can feed you and give you strength to defeat that enemy that is trying to attack you. How, you might ask? Let me tell you that faith comes by comprehending the word of Yehovah. And faith is like a muscle. While the word is food, Yeshua, who died on that stake, defeated death and hell and the grave. And he was resurrected and was seated over all our enemies. Every time you eat the bread and drink the wine, you are believing the truths that you died with Yeshua and resurrected with him. Because you did. And you are seated with Yeshua, all because of his death for you that you accepted. Far above your enemies, no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. And your faith in his salvation has moved Yeshua to give you his power in his name. It's more than strength, it's power. You are his body, he is the head. You discern Yeshua's body until he comes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 29 it says, "For the one who is eating and drinking unworthily eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the master." We need to realize that we are in Yeshua. If you can grasp the concepts that you are the body and he is the head, then through you will he, Yeshua, defeat the evil devil or the evil one, because he is the head. We need to get our own heads out of the way and let Yeshua govern us and rule us through his head, because scripture tells me he's the head. I'm just the body. He's the head that's on here. We need to get our own head out of the way, and nobody can only do what that head tells it to do. So we need to make sure we have the right head on our shoulders to listen to. In Shemot, Exodus chapter 19, verses 16 and 17, it says, "And it came to be on the third day in the morning, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the ram's horn was very loud. And all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moshe brought the people out of the camp to meet with Elohim. And they stood at the foot of the mountain." On this same third day, we read that the elders ascended the mountain to the mountain of Mount Sinai. Most people only think that Moshe went up to Mount Sinai. He did. But before he went up alone for the 40 days, the elders went up first with him. So let us have a look at Shemot, Exodus chapter 24, 9 to 11. "Moshe went up, and also Aharon, Nadav, Avihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the Elohim of Israel, and under his feet like a paved work of sapphire stone. and like the heavens for brightness, yet he did not stretch out his hand against the chiefs of the children of Israel. They saw Elohim, and they ate and drank. They ate and drank with Elohim on the mountain, 74 of them. The nobles of Israel marched with Moshe up Mount Sinai and saw Yehovah. It was a form Yehovah used. The people were able to see him, and nothing from which an idol could be made, according to Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. It says, therefore, diligently guard yourselves, for you saw no form when Yehovah spoke to you at Mount Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you should do corruptly and shall make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness male or female. While they were on the mountain, they ate and drank with Elohim. Yehovah obviously thought they were mature enough to eat meat. On a third day, they ate and drank. It was the third day that Yeshua rose from the death of the stake. It was the death of the stake that the bread and wine represents. 3 days, bread and wine. They all speak the same point. We need to truly feed on the truths of the stake and Yeshua HaMashiach. When we can eat that bread and drink that wine, we will all be weaned. There is a new birth. There's also the weaning. And the weaning is very significant in the life of a child. We can neglect the weaning if we're not careful. Learning to eat and drink the bread and the wine is a very important part of our new lives. It's a third day revelation. When we eat and drink, the Ishmael of our lives will be dealt with. In Shmuel Aleph, 1 Samuel 21 to 28, it says, the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to Yehovah the yearly slaughtering and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, when the child is weaned, then I shall take him, and he shall appear before Yehovah and remain forever there. And her husband Elkanah said to her, do what is good in your eyes. Remain until you have weaned him. Only let Yehovah establish his word. And the woman remained and nursed her son until she had weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of Yehovah in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my master, as your being lives, my master, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to Yehovah. I prayed for this youth, and Yehovah has granted me what I asked of him. So I've also loaned him to Yehovah. All the days that he lives, he shall be loaned to Yehovah. And he worshipped there, before Yehovah. That is an amazing sacrifice for a woman to make. To give her only son, not knowing whether she'll ever have another one. And we don't ever learn if she did have another one. Yet Shmuel, the son, a man in the scriptures, whose life story does not show one single error he made, was dedicated to Yehovah and brought to the tabernacle to live after he was weaned. The weaning is an extremely pivotal point in scriptures as it pertains to one's life. I believe it's a strong point Yehovah is trying to show us. Of all thought in scripture about eating the bread and the wine of Yeshua's body and blood stands out the most important. Even the fruit of the tree of life or the tree of knowledge of good and evil was made on the third day in Bereshit. It's amazing when you search scripture what you can link to what and how it all lines up to what Yehovah wants us to understand. In Bereshit chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, it says, "And the earth brought forth grass, the plant that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And Elohim saw that it was good, and there came to be evening, and there came to be morning, the third day." I truly believe that we are all weaned, but still at different stages in our maturity as to what foods we are ready to partake of. What I am sure of is that we can all partake of the remembrance service as we remember Yeshua's sacrifice for us and the rising on the third day. So that's my message. If anyone's got any questions before we go to the remembrance service. I didn't explain it that well, did I? Okay. Let's move forward.